Welcome to The Honest Report, a weekly podcast analyzing media coverage of the Arab Israeli conflict, anti-Semitism, and radical Islamic terrorism.
They attacked by air, land, and sea, taking Israel by surprise during a major Jewish holiday. Now, 13 and a half hours after Hamas launched its audacious assault, Israel says it's at war.
Israel is at war. We didn't want this war. It was forced upon us in the most brutal and savage way. But though Israel didn't start this war, Israel will finish it.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says when it comes to destroying Hamas, quote, nobody will stop us.
Here's your host, Rob Walker.
Ian Ward is a counselor in Coldwood, British Columbia, located on Vancouver Island, a suburb of Victoria, the population of just under 20,000 people. He has also become a leading voice of moral clarity, advocating for both Israel and the Jewish people. Even though as an elected official in a municipality with a very small Jewish community, there is no ostensible electoral benefit in doing so. Ian joins us as a guest in this week's podcast to discuss what prompted him to become so vocal, the feedback he's been getting from constituents, and why he thinks more municipal politicians need to stand up and make their voices heard. Welcome to the Honest Report podcast. Councillor Ian Ward, welcome to the Honest Report podcast.
Thank you, Robert. Glad to be here.
The pleasure is all ours. You are, of course, a city councillor in the town of Coldwood, British Columbia, population about just under 20,000, my understanding. Looks beautiful, suburb of Victoria, British Columbia. You are not just a city councillor, but you've become particularly noticeable in the last few months as a real vocal advocate for Israel and for the Jewish community. Where did this come from?
Well, very good question, Robert. I think not a typical political field, if you will, for a small city community councillor. But for me, I think obviously we can pinpoint October 7th as a pivotal moment in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Obviously something that's gone on for many, many years, but in terms of recent dates, that one really stands out. And I think for me, what I took note of was that on October 7th, in contrast to more recent historical acts of significant terror, like 9/11, for example, is one that resonates with me. Gen X, a pivotal moment in my life. The reaction from politicians at a municipal level right up to, to federal level and internationally at attacks like that is unified, and there's consternation and there's instant, condemnation of the attackers. And frankly, with October 7th, what stood out to me was the silence. The silence was deafening at every level. I mean, we saw national party leaders, with the Green Party, for example, say nothing. Very, sort of milquetoast comments from the federal NDP and even from the Liberal Party. A lot of waffling, a lot of, very carefully constructed political statements. And at the municipal level, nothing, absolutely nothing. And really, that was what took me aback at first and made me kind of poke my head up and say, why? Why is this the case? So I think if you want to, find a place in time, that's really it. And I think, as events moved on, that concern grew as, why would nobody say anything? And then when people did start to speak up, it really shocked me to see that, they were feeding into the PR machine of Hamas and PFLP and others and, criticizing Israel, even in the days prior to Israel launching any kind of significant military action. I'm talking October, 8th to 12th. I started to see, municipal colleagues, provincial politicians and others, start to criticize Israel and urging them to use restraint and use caution. And I thought, if this was Canada, if somebody had penetrated our borders, slaughtered our people in their homes, kidnapped men, women, children, babies, committed horrific sexual assaults, our reaction would be vastly different. And I just really, perhaps a little naively, just didn't understand why our politicians were behaving in such a way. So I felt compelled to speak up.
Now, I guess a cynic might say, beyond a moral responsibility, What are the practical implications of this kind of silence? You know, municipal councillors, even provincial, even really federal, to some degree, one might argue, you know, the impact is somewhat muted. But what is beyond the moral responsibility? Is there a practical consequence to this kind of silence?
Well, sadly, I don't think there is any consequence for those that are staying silent. The only consequences we've seen so far are those who, you know, have shown some moral fiber and courage to stand up and speak out. Those are the folks like Selena Robinson, you know, provincial cabinet minister here in British Columbia, who were effectively cancelled, you know, by this braying mob, as I call it. You know, I don't dispute the fact, I think, that some of my municipal colleagues have put forward that speaking up is there's no advantage to it, right? There really is nothing to be gained, you know, aside from staking out the moral high ground. In fact, it's quite the opposite. There's everything to lose. And, you know, and we've seen those folks that did speak out spoke out in the opposite direction. You know, Susan Kim is one notorious example that comes to mind, a city councillor in the city of Victoria who signed on to a letter with Sarah Jarma from the Ontario NDP, you know, that questioned the accuracy of claims of rape of Israeli women, of murder of Israeli civilians. Subsequently, I discovered on Twitter that she had, on October 7th, you know, glorified the martyrs of Hamas and liked tweets to that, you know, that effect. So sadly, what we've seen are the folks that have come out in a very pro-Palestinian, anti-Israeli, even anti-Jewish way, you know, have been lauded and celebrated, where those folks that have staked out the moral high ground and said, no, this is wrong, they've effectively dealt with, you know, hate campaigns and even full cancellation.
So when these kind of events have taken place, you've heard this kind of rhetoric from politicians, from Prime Minister, the Mayor of Montreal, Mayor of Hamilton, say things like, this is not who we are. What do you think needs to be said or needs to be done to effectively show that they're serious?
Well, I think first of all, they need to acknowledge the, you know, the true face of what's going on here. And when I say that, I talk about these mass protests, particularly in the urban centers of Canada, and who's behind it. I mean, you have organizations like Samadoun, which is identified as a terrorist supporting organization in European countries like Germany and Austria, but here in Canada is allowed to operate unimpeded. I believe the government needs to step forward, you know, at the federal level, first of all, and say, okay, you know, terrorist enablers are not welcome in this country, and direct law enforcement to take meaningful action. I mean, we saw how, you know, our federal government was willing to invoke the Emergency Measures Act against the Freedom Convoy folks. And I'm not going to debate the right or wrong of that, but, you know, we need a similar level of commitment and strength and concise, clear action to say persecution of Jewish people in Canada and, you know, protests specifically targeting their places of worship, their businesses, their homes. That is a hate crime, and it's unacceptable, and we will enforce the law. You know, because at the end of the day, law enforcement takes their cue from government, regardless of what is said. And right now, they're viewing it as, okay, this government isn't interested in taking action. Both provincial governments, excuse me, and federal governments are more concerned about pandering for the Muslim vote, frankly, looking at it as sort of a monolithic voting bloc. You know, that they can win over, and the politics have to stop, and we have to enforce existing laws.
Now, on a municipal level, is there an opportunity for politicians, elected officials like yourself in places where, you know, there's not a very large Jewish community? There is not, you know, I haven't heard of, you know, incidents the way that you've had sort of, you know, Hamas protests and so on. Is there an opportunity for elected officials in smaller towns and cities where they may not feel there are issues, but there's still a need and an opportunity to make a positive impact?
There's a Jewish community in every reasonable sized community in this country, you know, no matter how small. And I think they need to see elected officials stand up and say targeting our community members is wrong. In this region, for example, Victoria is a great example where the protests, you know, they break the law in terms of closing streets, you know, supported by the police at taxpayers' expense. But, you know, no physical harm has been done thus far. But at the same side, you know, you have a mayor who refused to take any action against Susan Kim. You have a Victoria City Council that refused to take any action against Susan Kim. And that sends a message. And I think we need those individuals to step forward publicly and say, you know, targeting Jewish members of our community or any community in Canada is unacceptable, and put pressure on higher levels of government and say, okay, maybe we're not facing it here locally, but as Canadians, you know, we would like to see our provincial government and our federal government take action and do what's right.
Now, let me ask you, as an elected official yourself, what's the response been? I mean, you've certainly been a vocal. Your feed on X, formerly Twitter, is, you know, it's regularly updated, and you're certainly very, very vocal. What's the response been of your constituents? In other words, are people supportive? Are people upset? I'm sure there are extremes on both sides, people who love you and people who hate you. But in other words, are there a lot of politicians, as you mentioned in the beginning, might be reticent to say something, to do something? Where's the, can you tell them that actually there's a lot of people who might be quiet, but ultimately do support that?
I've had members of the Jewish community, they've reached out to me, you know, and appreciation and saying thank you for being a lone voice in many cases for speaking up for me. And these are people in my community. Allegedly, there's been others in my community who, you know, who disagree with my stance, who've complained to fellow councillors. You know, there was an orchestrated campaign of letter writing to the city hall from folks, well, frankly, from outside the community, but, you know, purporting to be from the community, you know, demanding my ouster and so on. You know, and that comes with the territory. I expect that for being so vocal. But, you know, again, it plays into why other municipal politicians don't want to be involved. I mean, my fellow councillors here in Colwood, they don't want any part of it. And it's not because they're not good people. You know, their heart's in the right place, but, you know, frankly, they're scared of these folks showing up on the doorstep and, you know, the attention that they bring and the type of angry, vitriol and just hate that they spew is not something anybody wants to draw upon themselves. And you know, I've got a bit of a thicker skin than most. I have Jewish family and Jewish friends, and, you know, it's personal to me. And I also believe that, you know, if you truly believe in something, you know, you can look in the mirror and say, okay, I'm standing up for what is right. But there is a political cost, Robert. And I think at the end of the day, people are weighing that. And, you know, it's a hill I'm prepared to die on, but most local politicians aren't.
And so what do you think then needs to be done from individuals, not just elected officials, but non-elected officials, to show that, hey, listen, this isn't unacceptable, and that, listen, there's a small number of people, vocal as they may be, who are loud and hate-filled, but there's a lot of people who just want everybody to go about their daily business and be safe from attempts at intimidation, rather.
Well, that's the great question. I mean, Robert, I think sadly what we're looking here, it is a political problem and an education system problem. I mean, we're looking at undoing. This didn't start on October 7th. I mean, you know, I know the other side likes to say that, but in reality here in Canada, you know, it starts with years of sort of false equivalence with this settler colonial narrative that's being taught to people. You know, academics are part of the problem here. You know, our government is part of the problem. You know, we see this false equivalence being put out there with great success, you know, and understandably people in Canada look at our sort of colonial history and say, okay, what we've done to Indigenous peoples is wrong. We need to rectify that. I think we all agree with that. But then this is being falsely sort of picked up as a template and dropped down over Israel and saying, okay, you know, since 1948, this same thing has happened here, that these Israelis, these Jews are settlers and colonialists, and these poor Indigenous Arabs have been, hard done by. And the reality is so far from the truth. I mean, this is Judea, the homeland of the Jews. They've been there for thousands of years. I mean, archaeology tells us that. Like, you don't have to be all that smart, quite frankly, to figure it out. It's glaringly obvious. But for decades in our school system, you know, we've been educating people in a way that has kind of walked them down the garden path to feed right into this propaganda. I mean, I will give the pro-Palestinian side full credit for indoctrinating people and creating this narrative. And we can't undo that overnight. It's going to take wholesale change, starting with the federal government. I mean, we saw the NDP motion, really largely supported by the Liberal Party and the Greens, you know, blatantly anti-Semitic. you know, essentially saying, hey, let's defund Israel. Let's take away their ability to get weapons. Now, of course, you know, Canada is a real minimal player in this. But when you look at the sentiment behind it, Robert, I mean, if every G7 country and others were to follow suit and stop sending weapons to Israel, you're effectively saying, okay, now we're going to let Hamas and Hezbollah win. From the river to the sea would become a reality. Israel, the last bastion of safety for Jews in the world, would be wiped off the map, and you'd have, you know, just another colonized Arab country, you know. And so the narrative here is completely wrong. How we undo that, I don't know. It's going to take years and years at every level to kind of unwind this propaganda war.
Well, Ian, I really appreciate your time and your vocal support, and I hope that your moral clarity and bravery does lead the way, and it certainly inspire others to take charge as well. Recognize that there is a silent number of people in the millions who are not vocal, but they certainly are of a similar mind that you know what you're seeing when you see this moral weakness and cowardice is certainly not something that that speaks for them. So thank you for your leadership in this, Councillor Ian Ward from Colwood, British Columbia.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you to Honest Reporting Canada for being honest and allowing the truth to get out there. As you said, there's millions of folks out there that I think you know, occupy the moral high ground, maybe silent for now, but that's in their nature. They're not the ones to block bridges and block roads and scream and chant, but we are out there and we are in there in numbers, and I think over the long term, we will win this propaganda war.
And that's today's edition of the Honest Report podcast. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to our mailing list, our podcast channel, and follow us on social media for the most up-to-date news. If you like what you've heard, please consider a donation to support our continued efforts at www.honestreporting.ca/donate. Until next time, thank you so much for listening.